Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you with us tonight. And we're glad to have you with us every night. All of our friends around the world, wherever you might be, we declare in Jesus' mighty name over your lives that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it in your life, in your family, in everything you put your hand to. And the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to you tonight. Now, for all of our, oh, Jesus, help me. Why did it do it like that? Well, all right. Everybody, just be it. Just be chilled out because I had a really good plan. And these guys are determined that maybe they want to make it difficult. But let's just keep moving. Everybody hold on. We're going over the first hill of the roller coaster. It's just a little hill, but that next one is huge. You'll see all the way across.
Can I hear you and not me? It's making you funny.
All right, so here we go. What you're going to see in the family thread is a post that has the Facebook Live link, the YouTube Live link, the Blog Talk Radio link, all in one post that you can share yourself. That is for tonight.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Now, that way, no matter who you share that with, one of those platforms, they're going to be able to connect with and make it happen. I should be able to have this ready for you before the program goes live. However, that's a learning process, and since the last time I talked to it, I didn't learn. Wait, I didn't learn that. I did learn since then, but I did not learn that process. However, I have it done, and I'm pretty proud. I'm rather content about how that turned out. Each of those links will take you right to that platform. And then later on, once we get started here, I'm going to play Dr. Barclay's video on the gifts of the Holy Spirit from the Holy Spirit Conference Friday morning. And we're going to let him teach on that for a little bit. Don't know that we'll play the whole video all tonight, but we're going to play a little bit of it so that we can restudy the gifts of the Holy Spirit and talk about them right out of God's Word. It was a very great teaching. And I've also included that video in this same link. So if you want to, I can play some sharing music for you while you, matter of fact, where's Sister Francetta? We need her to play her kazoo.
Yeah.
while all of us share these links with whoever we need to share them with for tonight's program. All right?
Yeah.
And if
would you like to play the bongos?
And if Sister Francetta is not here, then I'll just sing the Jeopardy song. Dum 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 dum. Are you guys enjoying my singing?
Yeah, it's lovely. You just need the bongos with it.
All right, so let's see how it looks. I'm going to put my first share in. Looks like it's, like, really good. And then I'm going to share one with the neighbor just in case he wants to share it with somebody. Brother Dave, you got it now, man. God bless you, Dave.
God bless you.
God bless you, man.
Everybody, just do a round of applause for Dave because he helped Pastor fix my car today. Hallelujah.
Dave helped us fix our car today.
Wonderful man.
And it's the difference of night and day. Thank you, Brother Dave.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for that blessing in our life. And now, here we go. So just in case you haven't learned how to talk and share at the same time, try it. You will only bite your tongue maybe once.
I completely forget to talk when I start doing it. I have really good intentions always. Until I get like one and a half.
And
I can talk and chew gum or walk and chew gum at the same time.
So anyways, so Sis Francetta said, you're the only one here. Francetta, oh my goodness sakes.
I haven't seen Francetta
since
yet.
Mary and Sunday are the only ones that's live with us in Zoom. If one of you would like to share something you received from the Holy Spirit Conference with us, that would be wonderful while I continually share my threads for tonight so that all my friends know how to find us.
Oh, Mary had chicken soup. She didn't want to tell us. Geez, chicken noodle soup. That sounds good, Mary.
Mary,
it's good for you.
When I get done with the program, I'm usually in hunger for a Campbell's soup.
Yeah. And no, you don't have to leave Zoom for it. It'll play right on there, too.
To what?
She said, so do we leave Zoom to get this?
No.
Oh, wait. The
share?
The share is in the family thread. So you just go
well,
in there.
Well, hold on. Let's see what we can do with that. Where did you guys go? And back at the shop watching Chad and someone else work on a truck. Just point every now and then, Dave, you do that. So let me see here.
So you're just spending your whole day off at work, basically.
Let's see what this looks like.
Your cat probably loves it.
Oh, there it is. So, yeah, Mary, I just shared it in Zoom. You can copy that. How do you copy it? Can you copy?
And you don't have to go any place. Oh, no, you can't do anything from Zoom in the comments, actually.
Well, on my computer, I can copy it. It's Hangout Day.
Oh,
all right.
Can.
There you go. Yeah, but you can on with your Zoom. Yeah, but not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you highlight it, Mary, you can.
If you highlight it, yeah. Probably hold your thumb on it, right?
For what I got out of the Holy Spirit Conference.
Sunday, you rescued me.
Go.
I am just yakking away. Thank you. Go ahead.
You do that very well, sir.
Yeah.
Anywho.
I receive it.
Well, I don't know. The thing I got out of it was the Holy Spirit. And you felt it was all over me. And it's,
yeah.
I'm not saying all the time, but lately it's been like, boom. But that's my prayer to walk with Jesus every day.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's showing me infallible proof. And today was the first day, and I don't know how long, that my knee did not be, it wasn't stiff.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Jesus.
I could actually move it, and I told Chris to move it. Praise God, it doesn't. It's not stiff. I said I'm walking normal here, told Chris. I said hallelujah, praise God, and it popped last night when I got up, because I got up at 2:08 and I started praying. I said, Lord, I don't know why I'm awake. I have no reason to be awake, no discomfort, no nothing. So I just went into prayer, and I started praying for everybody that I could think of. And I said, well, Lord, I think I'm all done now. I'm going back to bed. You know. And then I did. I went back to bed and slept really good. But when I had gotten up, I was literally, like, bent over because my knee was so stiff.
Wow.
And I thought, Lord, what is going on? And I bent. When I bent to kind of, like, touch my toes thing, it popped. my knee actually popped. Not once, but twice.
I love it.
And that was it. I said, oh, my goodness, there's a skip no more. And I'm walking around like an idiot. Do something in the morning. Huh? I'm sorry.
No, that's just a hallelujah.
Just hallelujah.
Yeah, that's
thank
the way I look
you,
at it.
Lord.
I take what I can get and I thank God for it. But you know something, Pastor? Because remember I said I still have the soreness and stuff like that? Jesus showed me something in my prayer. He's a Sunday. Remember the man, the blind man? That Jesus put mud on his eyes and spit in it, you know,
uh-huh.
Made mud?
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah. He says he didn't see right away either. He seen minutes Hall Street. I said, oh,
yeah.
Hallelujah. I caught that one, Lord. I said, I'm going to take that and run with that, baby.
Wow.
Little by little. Christian
well,
by Christian. You know, I believe
yeah.
that.
Yep.
God's getting all the glory. Always.
Amen. Amen.
Always, 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 always.
Dave, is yep. it okay to pray yourself to sleep? Because I do.
Oh, yeah, that's
we
the best way to
do.
Fall asleep, man, is pray yourself to sleep.
Yeah.
Yep. I do that. I'll fall asleep, and then I have to wake up and say, did I pray?
I wake up and say, amen, Lord, amen. I don't know if I said amen or not, but. Yeah, I think this is a really good process here. It takes a little bit longer to get it done. But in this way, I know everybody has the links that they need.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we might start is a thread that's just a link thread where we make no comments, but we put everybody in it that wants it, and it's just for the links. Because then one of them could give us we could hit 50, 100, 200, 1,000 people in that one thread. But I'm doing pretty good. I'm not sure how much I'm up to, but I'm up to a pretty good number already. Yeah, I love it when that happens. You know, I don't know. I've told the story a couple of times about my friend Carl Schaub, how he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And they told him it was so bad that he was going to start losing his ability to talk and all those things. And he went to Dr. Barclay and a couple other people who had the healing anointing and said, hey, pray for me. And so they prayed for him. And I don't know who it was. Somebody, one of those people that prayed for him, when they laid hands on his head, they heard a real loud snap. Snap.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And everybody's like, wow, what was that? And nobody knew. But everybody heard it. They say if you listen to the tape of it, that everybody heard it. Well, so he still, they said, they're like, no, you got to have a surgery. We got to get that off your brain, that tumor off your brain. And so he goes into the surgery and when the doctor cut his skull open and looked, the whole tumor, which they had a picture of, it was huge, had shrunk into the size of a pea.
Oh my.
And was hard like a dried out pea would be in the garden of this all dried out.
Yeah.
It was dried out, and he reached in with a pair of forceps and just picked it up, and that was all. And the doctor stood there in absolute shock at what he's seen. He's like, you know, really? We wouldn't have really had to open your brain up, but except that God wanted me to see this guy just got healed.
Wow. I've heard of that, though.
So now some of you are just now getting the information on how to find this, but be of good cheer. We have overcome the world. And the wicked one in the world. And we'll get started here in a couple of minutes.
Amen.
This is Saturday night. So Saturday night's like a party around the fire where we're just having a good time. It's just us. And then it's us and whoever else shows up. We welcome you from all over the world, wherever you may be. And I'm just enjoying saying this. From 28 nations of the world.
Awesome.
How cool is that?
And from a Phyllis K. Raymond. Welcome, Phyllis.
And Phyllis K. Raymond's with us all the way from Louisiana.
Roger, the car repair went perfectly. Thank you for asking. And tell Dave thank you while you're sitting here because we have...
The car repair went perfectly.
Yeah.
It's amazing how when you have your car in the proper order, it works just wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave, for your help, dude.
Phyllis was watching Pastor Barkley. Oh, we're going to watch him again here in a minute for a little bit anyway.
What happened?
What?
There it goes. All right, I think I am finally.
What did you have for dinner, Phyllis? Roger had clam chowder. Yum. We need to have oyster stew again.
I like oyster stew.
Honey doesn't like any of our food.
Well,
when Chris and I go to a Chinese place or anything that's got raw, like sushi and that,
Yeah.
absolutely love that stuff. And oysters, Rockefeller, oysters, and she eats those. I'm grossed out. I don't even look at her when she's eating this stuff. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, I'm starting to eat that stuff a lot more.
Wow, did you read Dave's testimony?
No, I can't see anybody but me. No, I mean, I've seen everybody else.
Mary, cool. We can share these anytime. I just shared YouTube. Awesome. Dave says, look, y'all, I've personally witnessed healing miracles before I was healed. My left hand was paralyzed for almost 2 years. Wow. From frostbite, it was touched and prayed for, and my hand worked instantly. Hallelujah. I love that.
I love that. And when you said that, Roger said, that's the way I feel about biscuits and gravy. Wait.
Yeah.
Healing in your hand and biscuits and gravy. Now, that's two different things. Brother Dan and Sister Gwen, what did you have for supper? Don't worry, guys. We're just about ready to get started. If you're just now joining us in the family thread. Hey, wait, let's put it over here. I forgot we could put it over here, too. All right. Now, it looks right now. It looks right over here. This looks like it's right over here. Let's see if Facebook leaves it alone and lets it be right. Amazes me how you can mess it up so bad when I have it making it look so good.
Oh, it looks perfect.
But there you go. If you'd like to share this with a friend, I've put it in the Zoom. I've put it in Facebook Live. It's in the family thread. Can we get it on YouTube? Oh, YouTube's not live yet, isn't it?
It is not. Phyllis, I'm still eating soup, chicken, mushrooms, and carrots, etc. Good food. That does sound good, Phyllis.
All right. Well, everybody just hold. Oh, geez, what a mess. Woo! Don't you love it when it just turns out to be a mess? It's like, all right, well, thanks a lot. You messed it up, but it's okay. We love you anyways, and we appreciate you still being a good platform for us to use. All right, well, that took a lot longer than what I wanted it to. However, I was determined tonight I was going to make this happen no matter what, because I saw it the other night. Can we hear the radio when they call in? What does that mean?
Oh, on Blog Talk Radio.
If you're on Blog Talk Radio, go ahead, Brother Dan. Nope.
I just gonna let you know I didn't eat anything when I made it to Florida, so.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, you know, Florida's a nice state. Say hi to Andy when you're there.
Okay.
Brother Dave said, I'm signing up. I'm going to Looney's to eat a burger.
He said we were making him hungry.
Yeah. Love you, Dave. Tell everybody at Lonnie's I said hi, all right?
Oh, is that where he was? Looney's. I was thinking it was someplace over by the shop or something. That's funny.
No, wait. Wait, if there is a Looney's, I don't know about it, but it's okay whether I know about it or not. Because if there is a Looney's, I do want to eat there, all right? I want to find out what it – do they serve loon meat there?
It's
a loon burger.
No, wait. You might say, Pastor, how can you guys have so much fun just sitting here talking about nothing? Well, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is righteousness, joy, and peace. Thank God for it. Make sure you take me a picture of the sign, Dave, so I can see where Looney's is. Dave's going to send me pictures all night long. I don't know. What, is this a Looney? That's the danger of letting somebody have your phone number or just your what you call it, messenger. Like, oh, geez, look at the picture I'm getting. I did see a flock of ducks tonight that returned.
Really?
Yeah, on the way back across from Walmart. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's funny. Wait, you got to tell them tonight. Maybe you should add this to the bottom of your sign. Lonnie's, or sometimes known as Looney's. Tell the wait servers tonight, brother. Tell them. Now, according to Siri, this is Looney's. Now, what are we doing tonight, Pastor? Well, this is what we're doing tonight. We're having a great time together in God's Word. And we're just going to study together. And we're going to have a great time on a Saturday night. So far, I don't believe I've received any questions. If you sent one and I didn't see it, then make sure you're asking me about it, reminding me of it, because this is question and answer night, and I do want to be sure to answer any questions that we get. Otherwise, or not only that, but also we are going to study a little bit of the Holy Spirit conference Friday morning, where Dr. Barclay was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said it so simply that I want us to grab a hold of it and study that tonight. It's going to be a great study. Even if you can't be here for the whole night, I encourage you to go back and study it again, because you're going to want to. Now, if you did not just get a share from me in your messenger thread that has all of the links for tonight, then make sure you ask me for it, because I want to make sure I share it with you. Wow.
Why?
Wow. Wow, I just got an amazing testimony.
I love that share.
That's just amazing. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, if you're not used to people shouting and being happy about God, well, you need to find a new church so when people shout, it doesn't freak you out. Because when a billion of us around the throne of God, of Jesus, bow before him and present our crowns to him, that's going to get really, 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 really loud. And I don't want anyone to be freaked when you hear it. I'm doing my best to prepare you for it. Got a whole bunch of kids running outside.
Is that outside?
Yep, that's in the hall.
Duck is a greasy bird. Thank you, Roger. Have a chance to have venison dinner at a German post. Oh!
Wow.
A VFW post?
Wow. Wow. There is no fear in the word. So, here's what we're going to do. We've talked about food. Everybody got to share. I took a lot more time than I wanted to in it, but I'm really happy with how it turned out. This, I know that no matter the opposition of Facebook, oh, wait, I got to tell you one more. This is really cool. I've been looking all week on YouTube for Brother Copeland's Victory Network. And I've not been able to find it. And I've been like, well, what in the world is going on with Victory this week when we've got this Russian thing going on and you can't find the Victory Network? So this morning when I wake up and I open my phone for the first time into YouTube, because I want to search a message while I'm waking up to have it playing, there's a big thing from Brother Copeland in YouTube that says, if you're wondering where we've been this week, we have been censored by YouTube.
Yeah, isn't that something?
What? 20 minutes later, that post was censored by YouTube. I just tried to share it with Facebook Live, and it said something went wrong.
Yep, we know what that is.
Share it in your messenger or on your text with your phone. We are having a party in the hallway,
yeah.
Obviously. And it's going to be a fun party, we can tell. All right, so there we go. Blog Talk Radio is live. Facebook Live is live. It's 10 minutes till, so we're going to go live on YouTube at the same time. And we're going to pray and kick this thing off. Now, all right, you say it, love, because I couldn't seem to get it out.
What were you saying I was reading? You just said on your computer. You need a towel? Oh, my goodness.
You know, it doesn't help when you crack more jokes and you just keep cracking more and more jokes while I got my whole mouth full of snort water, all right? Oh, Jesus. Now, for those of you who might be new to this, whether you're live with us or you're seeing this in the future, you might say, wow, Pastor, what is this that you guys are doing? Well, we got one of the most awesome groups of believers you're ever going to meet right here.
Yep.
Most seriously committed people in the world. You got one of the most serious group of 100-fold Christians you ever met in your life right here.
Amen.
All right? They're amazing partners. They have an amazing partnership with this ministry. They love God. They love to grow. They love helping other people love God and grow. So this is one of the most interesting bodies of Christ you'll ever meet. However, there's only one way to perfect what we do, and that's right now while we're live. Because it's the only way that it ever looks like this is when we're live.
Yeah.
So tonight it's taken me 50 minutes to get on and get live. All right? However, I'm going to go back in Facebook Live, and I'll edit off all this beginning part, and then we'll start with the teaching, and it'll be a blessing to you. Now, let's kick YouTube Live off. That didn't even make sense, but if you're a German or maybe a Dutch person, that might have made sense. It's like they said, run the road over and jump the fence down. throw father down the stairs, his hat. But no, please don't throw father down the stairs.
Yeah.
Just throw his hat down the stairs to him. Anyways, so welcome YouTube Live. We're glad to have you with us tonight. And we've been doing some awesome things. Now, for those of you on YouTube Live with us tonight, or you see this live in the future, in the notes of the program, which is not the first comment, it's the notes that talk about us, where you see my name as the name of the Facebook page. In those notes, you'll find a link to the Facebook Live thread that's for tonight and a link to the actual YouTube video we're going to get start watching here in a little bit. Because I have no way yet to broadcast live to you this video that we're getting ready to study. But you'll be able to hear the audio of it. And most of all, you'll be able to watch me as I sit here and study with Dr. Barclay. Not that I think that's going to do you any good, but we are continually fine-tuning this and figuring out how to make this happen. So thank you for being a part of our program with us regularly. And hold on.
That's snort water, Phyllis. It's snort water. It means it almost came out his nose.
I just love this group of believers. I'm telling you, I love it. And some of you are like, man, you guys seem like you have a good time. We do. But, and so will you if you decide to come and be a part of this with us. Now, hold on. I got one more to share. There. Now we're ready to go.
Here we go.
Now we're ready to go. You know, while I'm over here, I might as well send a few more out just because they're right here to send. All right. All right, here we go. Now, we are very organized, whether it looks like it or not. And we're going to study the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit by one of those men of God of our day who has, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and many, many services, mastered this. And we're going to study it. We're probably going to stop it a little bit, talk about what he just said, and just meditate it as we go. Welcome aboard. Let's pray today. Matter of fact, you know what? I think I'm going to put up our prayer so we can all pray it together. How would that be?
That sounds awesome.
And we'll just pray.
We love to pray together, and we haven't been like since the Holy Spirit.
Since the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So just give me just another minute here. We'll get these guys in order. We'll get this in order. Screen one. Okay. There's that. Are we live? What do you see?
We are full. Grid. Oh.
Why did that just do that?
I don't know. Click on one of them. Oh,
there we go. All right, here we go. Say the opening prayer with us. Tell me when you can see it.
Yeah.
You got it? Father, we pray this prayer today as your children, as the body of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare,
thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow,
Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever.
And that glory
and honor
may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today.
Today, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
If you fall asleep, Phyllis will draw mustaches on you, just so you know. Great cloud of witnesses.
We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. God bless America today. And now, let's go to the commanded blessing of unity. Speak this boldly with us. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. We speak this next frames over the body of Christ in America and around the world, where every church service is happening right now, every patriotic event, Bible study, prayer group, cell group, we speak this right now. There is one body and one spirit. Just as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now this is the body of Christ and the fivefold ministry working together. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's the result in our personal daily lives, so that we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. And now, bless our peacemakers, wherever they are around the world and in this nation. We declare revival in the executive branch, revival in the legislative branch, revival in the judicial branch, and revival amongst all of our peacemakers that we have that represent the United States of America. We declare tonight, free every nation where the people are standing up against wicked, cruel
Amen.
Dictators. You remove them by your hand swiftly and severely, Father, for their treasonous acts against their own nation.
Amen.
And give men of God the courage to stand and lead. May every person in Russia and Ukraine and all of the European countries and those where Russia is about to get dragged, help them turn their lives over to Jesus, defect from these wicked armies, and join the mighty army of Almighty God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom
right
here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. We are now unshared. We are now back live. I can see you. Can you see me?
I see you.
Welcome to all of you that have joined us. Even if I don't see who you are, we welcome you and we appreciate you being here tonight.
Amen.
All of you on Blog Talk Radio, click that little swoosh button that's the share and share it with everybody you know in any nation you know. And may we be a blessing to them tonight. We're going to be talking tonight about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. And then we're going to get into the study tonight. This is our textbook. Aren't you glad we only use one?
Yes, amen.
And if you want a good one, a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, New King James Version, red letter, I like. You might like the tabs. I do not like the tabs, but that's me. You might like it. You ready? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
The
Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher. Is making His Word come alive.
Is making His Word come
in my
alive
life tonight.
In my life tonight.
I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
And plant Him as a seed.
And plant Him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now, open your Bible with me, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All of you on YouTube, we're always glad to have you there with us. Make sure you click like. If you want us to pray for you by name, make a comment, and then we'll be sure to pray for you by name. Everybody's name that we get to see, we pray for you by name. as soon as this program is over. And God being our help, we'll even start doing that while the Zoomers are still with us. So we have the prayer of agreement of the whole body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go down here and we'll begin reading at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The Holy Spirit is over the gifts, which is functioning right now in the church. Jesus is over the ministries, the fivefold ministry. And Father God is over the activities, which is what we're going to read right here. No, in Romans chapter 12 is the gifts of the Father. I'll get it. Let's keep reading. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, but not the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll set this up and we'll get started. Hold on. I got it set up right now. There it is. And here this is. This was Friday morning of the Holy Spirit Conference. Oh, my goodness. Everybody pause just a minute. This was Friday morning of the Holy Spirit Conference. And Dr. Barclay this week talked about the gifts of the Father, gifts of the Son, gifts of the Holy Spirit in the morning sessions. Powerful. We're going to restudy all of them together and be established in our understanding. Today, he's going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. This is Friday. And it seems like it might be inside out, but it's not. It's just the way the Holy Spirit is showing me to do it, and I'm just going to follow along and do what he gives me to do. So we're going to take you now live into the Holy Spirit Conference on Friday morning, and you're going to love this. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. I'm sure you're going to love it. Can you see it?
Yes.
All right. Hold on. All right. That's there. Mark Martin's going to be singing an amazing song.
Oh, my goodness.
Glory and you.
Somebody give him a shout of praise.
Hallelujah. Bless his holy name.
Bless your name.
Thank you for teaching us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for empowering us.
Amen.
We love you for that. We plan to be used by your Spirit more than any other time in our life. Anoint us. Lift your hands if you're not already. Just say, Lord, anoint me to help other people. Say it, anoint me and use me to help climax the ages. Say this, Lord, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm bringing as many souls with me as I possibly can. Oh, yeah. Thank you for touching us, Lord. It feels good to be in your presence today. We love you. We honor you. We'll love on somebody. You may have done it already, but call them blessed. Call them healed. Call them delivered. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. I want you to know that it means a lot to Vicki and me and that she'd come here and all of you local folks. And Living Word folks, it means a lot that you come out to the meetings. Sometimes you may not think this, but being the speaker or the minister, the pastor of the local church, we draw a lot of strength from you. I hope you understand that. Your presence brings us strength. It's not just like a flirting, golly gee, we didn't have a big crowd. Golly gee, we had a little crowd. That's a whole different deal. We're not into that deal. But when you are here or Sunday morning, I remember one time I was preaching for somebody else, which is like my 40-year life. But one of the brethren asked, can a couple of us elders talk to you quick? I said, sure. So they come back. I think there's four or five of them. And said, our pastor's been here 25 years. We want to do something really big for him. I said, well, what are you thinking? They said, well, we've raised some money, you know, which I think is great. We want to send them, his wife has never been to Hawaii, and they've never, since we've met them 25 years, they've hardly taken a vacation. We want to send them to Hawaii. What do you think about that? I said, I think I ought to go and carry the bags. Of course, they laugh too, you know. And I said, that's great. You do that. Don't let me interrupt that. But let me tell you the greatest gift that you could give your pastor every year, attend every church service. Spread it through the ranks that we're blessing the holy man and the God of the holy man by skipping no church services. Now, that's not like I got to have the church full. I don't think a lot of people understand. I'm going to say it again, how much strength comes to the preacher man or woman when you're in attendance. Now, you notice, if you're alert, you may not know this, but you might. If you notice, sometimes your pastor, maybe at church or the preacher, they'll be drawn to a certain sector of the church. And then they'll wander off trying to be fair to everybody. Or they'll try to look around because we're trained to be public speakers. So you want to cover the entire audience if you can. And if you're like me and you live on television around the world, you got to keep training yourself to look at live cameras and keep addressing people. And this is good for all of you that stream. So they don't feel isolated. You got to keep throwing out there. And we're including all of you streaming because we really are, whether you say it or not. But you can tell. There are certain areas that we're on strength from,
amen. Yeah.
Right? Well, you preachers know this.
Yeah.
We get someone you can tell there, you can pick them up in the faith, and they're with you.
Yeah.
Whether they're saying amen or not, those kind of people usually do. But you feel the, hey, this couple, this family, right, this guy right here, he's plugged in, and we draw strength from that.
It's a supernatural thing, right? We also usually avoid sectors, especially if there's a sewage leak in that sector. We try to stay out of there. Unless you're a guy like me, and if I think you're resisting me, I'm going to zero in on you.
Come on.
Just one guy said, you looked right at me, Dr. Barclay, when you were dealing with that toughest part of the sermon. I said, absolutely. I'm a skillful communicator. I know who to drill. I know I'm an old drill sergeant. I know who to go after, praise God. 1 Corinthians, I just wanted to exhort you on that for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Amen. Hallelujah. We're so, you know, I noticed that I want to pull this together. I noticed what God's been doing here in this conference. And so we talked about the reasons for the gifts on the very first, session together. And we talked about the three sectors or the three sections or the three areas, the three giftings. And we originally, remember, I'm just reviewing a minute. We talked about operations. We talked about ministries, administrations, ministries, and how God the Father was in charge of one part of that. Jesus Christ the Son, the head of the church, was in charge of, I like to say that, in charge of that part of it, and then the Holy Spirit, of course, was in charge of another. So if you go back and get that recording and go study it, you'll see all three areas of ministry are covered, but they're equally divided among the Trinity or the Godhead. Our God is three persons in one. They're so tightly knit together that sometimes, you say, "Hear, O Israel," the Bible says, our God is one God. But he is, but he's made up of three persons. And so all three is who's running the church all together. You got to have all three. Then we went into the next teaching we were together. We talked about the doma gifts, the Greek word for the fivefold ministry, the authoritative gifts, the government giftings. Amen. And we talked about the call of God and how he called us out. And then the preachers, I use that term for all fivefold. The preachers are called out again from among the body of Christ to be leaders. And then some are called out from among the ministers to be the grandfather, the apostle over others to help others. I'm just reviewing a minute and rehearsing what we've been through. And then we talked about the seven gifts of the Father yesterday morning, how some call them motivational gifts. And how every born-again Christian has one of those gifts in them. We explained that. We read it in the scriptures, and then we expounded on it. This morning, the Holy Spirit wanted me to talk and teach some on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we've talked about the seven gifts of Father God, Romans 12. We talked about the five gifts that Jesus brings the church, Ephesians 4. And now we're going to talk about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all enabling us. Say enabling.
Amen.
And empowering us so we don't work as mere men. Even out witnessing, a lot of people only go by what they've been trained. And if you don't call upon the Holy Spirit to anoint you to not only witness, but to have a word of knowledge. All of a sudden, reach for, ring a guy's doorbell, he comes out, you lay hands on him, he gets a miracle. We can go witness without the Holy Spirit. It's just not very effective, right? But if we can flow in these gifts. So to introduce these texts, I want to remind us all that there are no gifts of the Spirit for you personally. Now, you have a prayer language. That's a gifting. You have a calling, we can say that's a gifting. So there's power for us, of course. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We're the temples of the Holy Ghost. But the nine gifts of the Spirit, none of them are given to you for you. They're all given to you and me to empower us to let God confirm your witness, your lifestyle witness, your voice witness, and the preaching and teaching ministry. And I believe with all my heart that these nine gifts of the Spirit are not just for church services. Just like the Bible's not just for church. The Bible's for everyday life, every moment of your life. So are the gifts of the Spirit. Let's make one more point, then we're going to read. This is not a manifestation of you. This is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit himself personally. So sometimes someone starts flowing in a gift and God kind of uses them then that, and they get praying about that and asking. It says covet earnestly the best gifts. The best gifts are not the ones you want most. They're the ones you need for the moment of time. So I always say this, if you're going to the hospital to pray for the sick, you probably don't need discerning of spirits or, you know, a prophetic utterance. You need the gifts of healing. So on the way to the hospital, I would ask the Holy Spirit, the best gift that I can see right now, Lord, would be the gifts of healings. When I get in that hospital room, I'm going to covet that. I'm going to ask you to show up, Holy Spirit, and I'll pray, and I'll pray, but I fully expect you to confirm my witness, confirm your word, and let there be a manifestation of healing. You still with me? So just to say it out loud, say, no gift is for me personally. It's my weapons, my enabling, and to help other people. Thank God we get to do that. Amen. Now with that, let's read about it. Let's pick it up in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. You there? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Remember we said the first word in ignorant is ignore. So ignorant doesn't mean you're just uneducated. It means you're sometimes ignoring what you've been taught. Another place in the Bible is called negligence. You know, you can go out here on the road and do something really wrong or stupid or just a dumb day and hurt other people. And if someone, say, was to die, they might call it negligent homicide or negligent manslaughter. You didn't mean to do it, but you did it. This is, if you read further, you'll find out that in the scriptures, it talks about negligent Christians. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy, the apostle, to a pastor. Timothy was like a son in the faith to the apostle Paul. And he said, do not neglect the gift that is in you, that was given to you by the laying on of my hands. Right? So here's an apostle reminding a young pastor, don't you be found in negligence, right? Okay, let's keep reading. You know, verse 2, you know that we were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people could like say it, but he's talking about, you know, someone who meant it. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. Remember, this is what we started with this week. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. 5, and there are differences of administrations, which really we would say ministries. Like Mark Barclay Ministries, Lonnie Brown Ministries, or the name of your church, a different ministry. But the same Lord. So now we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are diversities of operations. We might say activities or assignments, or this is my mission or my mission statement. They differ. This is what, notice verse 4, diversities. Verse 5, differences. Verse 6, diversities. So we don't all do the same thing. We all do it with the same God, the same Spirit, the same Father, the same Word, right? I've always said this, there may be a couple different ways to do church, but there's only one way to do God, right? You might stand up to sing, we might sit down, but we're all singing and it's all about God. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, meaning Father God, Jehovah, which worketh all in all. Now, we're going to make a list of the nine gifts of the Spirit. You probably know them, but just act like you never heard it before. But the manifestation of the preacher, oh, thank you. Thank you. The manifestation of who? This is not deep to understand. Okay? So if I said right now, Pastor Darren, just go out that door right there and turn left. Shut the door behind you. Is you born in a barn? That's what my mother always said to me. I don't know what it means. I wasn't born in a barn. Well, actually, I don't know where. I don't know if I was born in a barn or not, now that I think about it. Maybe Mom did know something I didn't know. Now, no, just stay there. What are you doing? Don't blow it now. You're on international TV like millions of households. Oregon. Now, Pastor Darren's not in here, is he? Watch him manifest. Watch him manifest. Look, Darren Osborne has just manifested in this sanctuary. Thank you, Pastor. May you reap what you sow. It's that simple. Either the Holy Spirit comes or he doesn't. He's either here or he isn't. It's that simple. And all of these churches hiding the Holy Spirit, pushing him out of the services, because they I guess these preachers forget that that's who they work for. That's who we work for. The whole idea is to get God in the house. Not a pack of sinners that meet you. What are you, like a comedian? Are you a famous movie star preacher? Are you, is this all about you and the decorations and the light show and the smoke machine and the, no, this is about getting people in the presence of God. You know, I was studying this the other day. In the book of Revelations, Jesus said, I'm standing at the door knocking. And any man who will let me in, I will come and sup with him. Yes, now, I've always, and there's a value of truth in this. I've always kind of referred that to God's knocking on the heart of every human being. And those who will say, come and live in me, they get born again. I like that. I think there's an application there. But this day I was studying, and the Lord said, I'm not so much talking about an individual human as I am my body. I'm knocking on many churches. Will you let me back in? Can I come to church? And those who will say yes, I'm going to sup with them. Sup means stay for dinner. Sup means fellowship. And Jesus is saying, I'm knocking on the door of the church. I think he's probably saying, why did you all kick me out in the first place? Oh, because you might be here and you might offend visitors. And we're professional people collectors. And we wouldn't want you, God, to make us embarrassed because you're present in our meeting. Wow, seriously? That'd be like me inviting you to my house for dinner. I am not. Don't want you all to show up tonight at 5. But if I did, and I tell Vicky, now, Vicky, listen, I love you. You're beautiful. You're my wife. But I don't know. I want you to go back in the bedroom and shut the door and don't come out till I call you. Because I don't want our friends that I invited to be offended. So you go hide in the back. And somewhere in the middle of all this, surprise, Vicky's here. And that's about how dumb it is when church people try to have church without God. I don't want to drift off this exit right here from the freeway that I'm on, but Dr. Sutton made the most powerful statement before he went to heaven. He said, Mark, preachers have lost track of God in his own house. They do not know how to get him back. So they have opted to other means to attract people. But the true minister.
Pause that for just a minute to talk about this. Because I heard Dr. Sutton say that week I was at the School of Eschatology. And Dr. Sutton was a general in the body of Christ. And his statement is, in the effort to reach more people, they began to do things that drew people. But they weren't things that was drawing people who were hungry. They were just doing things that would draw people. And so then you got a whole building full of people who are not really hungry. They're just glad to be in a church building that looks like this with a band that sounds like that and a whole bunch of people that's excited about it, which is not a whole lot more than just a rock and roll concert. And they, even though they were good people trying to reach people, they didn't listen to the men of old saying, whatever you have to do to get them, you're going to have to do to keep them. And so we filled our buildings with people that are not seeking God. They're seeking a live band, a nice show. Hey, it's about God, so nobody's going to steal my wife or my husband. But they're not truly seeking God. They're seeking koinonia. They're seeking fellowship, two fellows in a ship. And then, like he said, they have sought people so long, some of them will never get the Holy Spirit back in the house with them in the church. Now, I'm sure Pastor's going to say a little bit of that. Yeah, that's scary. That's why here we're going to be about the Holy Spirit every time, because nobody can even come to Jesus without the Holy Spirit. But why would we ever try to hide him? That doesn't even make sense. Here we go.
We lift up Jesus. And Jesus, if you lift up him, in other words, he's the key. He's a key tension point. If you lift up Jesus, Jesus, will draw all men unto himself. If there's no other verse, we could go ahead and cling to that one. Can I have an amen? Let's keep going. You know what? It's really hard to teach on the nine gifts of the Spirit in one 45-minute session, especially if you're me. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. With all really just means all. Everybody but yourself. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, a word, not a paragraph.
Wow.
If God uses you in a word of wisdom, don't be prophesying over someone for 15 minutes. Now it's no longer a word. To another, the word of knowledge, what's the difference? A word of knowledge is declaring something that has already happened, something that God wants revealed that is just the truth. It normally has to do with the past or the present. A word of wisdom, 99% of the time, has to do with the future. God's trying to tell somebody, do this in the future. Look out for this in the future. I assign you to this in the future. A word of knowledge is once upon a time. And God does, you know, God's trying to get our attention. God will give a minister or a believer a word of knowledge, a fact about somebody's life so that you have their attention. Then he can go ahead and minister to them, lay hands on them, call them out, bless them, and other forms of ministry. That's what those are for, to get their attention. God has never been one to try to prove to humans that he's smart. In fact, if you walk with God, you have a biblical instruction. I'm sure your pastors have taught you all this. You have a biblical instruction that if you're going to walk by faith, you must believe that God is. You don't need any proof, and he don't need to prove it to you. You either believe he is or you don't believe he is. Keep going. Verse 9, to another faith. Now, this isn't like the measure of faith. God gave to every man, every human being, the measure of faith, not a measure. If you want a measure, you got to come to hear the word preached. The less you come to hear your pastor preach, the less faith you will have. The more you come to hear the word of God preached, the more faith you will have. But in the beginning, and there's verses for this, it's just, it'll take me off track. But in the beginning, God said that he gave to every man the measure of faith. What's that for? Enough to get born again. That's why you and I cannot go out here and try to debate with sinners. Try to prove to sinners why you go to church. Go ahead. Try to prove to sinners why you speak in tongues. Go ahead and try to tell any sinner why you give money to the church. Or why you're here three or four times a week. You might as well save your breath. Why, Doc? Because the Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of men lest the glorious light of the gospel, salvation, should shine unto them. They're blinded. Now, if I held up this technicolor picture in front of a blind man, no eyes to see, and I said, man, look at this picture. It's got like this bright yellow to this orange, almost fluorescent. Can you see it? He goes, I can't see it. What are you talking about? He doesn't have a reference for orange. He's blind. You can try to explain the picture all day long. This guy hasn't even seen a bird. Well, there's a bird on a limb. Oh, well, he might have read about a bird, you know, or someone read it to him, I mean. He might know what a bird is, but he's never seen one. So good luck trying to explain to him about the bird or the tree, for that matter. This is what we're trying to do to win people to Christ, and the sinners want to debate us, and we're dumb enough to let them. And that's fruitless. It's like my picture illustration to try to explain to a blind man what your beautiful picture looks like. When you try to explain who we are, what we do, you know, why we do it, they can't get it. You're wasting your breath. Yes. But let me tell you where you won't waste anything. If you can bring hell and heaven and the Savior, there's enough faith in every human being. It unravels, and there's enough to get born again. Now, that's all the free faith they get. That measure, enough to get born again, is planted in every human being. I believe this with all my heart. And if you can get that, there's no reason to try to get people born again if they don't know they're going to hell. What do they need a Savior for? Talking to them and coming to church. I was a sinner all of my young life, even as a young adult. We never thought about going to church. We never said, hey, let's get drunk on Saturday night, but not too bad, because we got to go to church on Sunday. We got to find us a good church. Even when we were invited to church, we said, heck no, we ain't going to no church. Well, we didn't say it that nice, but we ain't going to no church. See, that it's almost futile the way many of us have been taught to try to change people's minds when you can. But what you can do, and God will help you with these nine gifts. I couldn't tell you how many people we have even personally led to Christ when the Holy Spirit says, ask Bob here about who Martha is. Hey, Bob, who's Martha? Well, Martha, I'm married to Betty. Well, then who's Martha? I don't know what you're talking about. God said to ask you about, oh, I've been sleeping with her. Oh, my God. And you can lead them to repentance. Because the Lord used that gift, that little word of knowledge, that little fact, to bust the door open. And they say, nobody knows this but God. There must be a God. There is. Pray this prayer. By the way, quit asking people. Hey, you want to pray the prayer? No, shut your mouth. Close your eyes and pray this prayer and mean it. And you'll have a whole lot. Not everybody means it, whether you ask them or tell them, but you're going to have a whole lot better result. If you ask people, hey, can I pray for you? Here? Like, what, are you going to get a private appointment later with me? I don't even know you, bud. Yeah, see? So these gifts were given to us to help people escape eternal damnation. The goal is not just live your best life now.
Amen.
It's not just you be happy. The goal is to escape hell at all costs. Hell is real. It lasts as long as heaven. It's not internal. It's eternal. The Bible doesn't call it internal salvation like the little doughboy preachers are preaching today. It's eternal. That's forever. It's called eternal damnation. Eternal salvation. So our number one goal personally for Mark Barclay is to escape hell at all costs. Escape hell, Mark, at all costs. Listen, Barclay, you got to do what God said to do to escape hell at all costs, because hell lasts as long as heaven. I know. Some of you have been, you know, you got little cloudy, muddy water, little sediment, because you've been listening to the doughboy preachers, and they tell you that God is such a lover, he would send no one to hell. The only beings that God is sending to hell are demons. But you can send yourself to hell in a heartbeat. It isn't God choosing. God said, I wish that all men would come to repentance. It's the will of God that every human being at any time, past, now, and present, future, would give their life to Christ and escape hell at all costs through Jesus Christ, no matter what Oprah says. No matter what some of these little, you know, wet noodle preachers say. There's only one way to hell. Every kid in my children's church knows this. Why don't adults know this? There's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's not coming again. Now, he's coming again for us, and he's coming again to climax the ages. What I meant was there's going to be no second chance Savior. There's no oops. Father God today is not saying, oops. The Jesus thing didn't work. Look at how many people are denying. I better find another begotten son. He's only got one. There's going to be no other. So all this mishmash stuff, you know, like old oatmeal, you know, you don't, it's just like, oh, man, you know, there's other ways to heaven. There's no other way to heaven. So the goal is not just live happy. That's part of the package. But it's a benefit. The blessings are supposed to overtake us. We're not supposed to be chasing them. We've been taught to chase blessings. But if you get this other thing, Mark, whatever this Bible says, Barclay, to escape hell, it starts with born again, but you better do the rest of the stuff it says. That God said, this is how you escape hell, eternal, forever damnation. So if I was to go to hell, it would not be the choice of God whatsoever. He would not send me there. I would make the choice. Every human has a volition, a free will. I'm not off course. He said, well, I'd like to go and teach on the gifts. I am. These gifts are given to us to empower us to get other people's attention so we can talk to them about Jesus Christ and escaping eternal damnation, the ultimate reason for still being alive. If the only goal was to get you to heaven, why didn't the Lord get Mark Barclay born again like 10 seconds before he died, and he wouldn't have had to put up with me all my life and make a disciple? You know how much money was spent on me? Do you know how much money was spent on you? You can't even calculate.
That's right.
The books that were written, the telecasts that were made, people who came to you, the local church, someone bought your chair before you even knew God.
Great point.
Turned the heater on, hired a preacher, so when you finally do brighten up a little bit and you get your bottom end, your blessed assurance to church, there's already a church there for you because someone went before you. God has spent, you couldn't even calculate how much time and money God and his army has spent on you alone to make sure you escape hell, and then to empower us to make sure other people escape hell. It's a reason for being. God's not alive for our little blessing. We're still alive to be his servant. And that number one target is grab every soul we can. Now, there's further work, but the target is souls. Now, Dr. Summerall was one of my dads. Brother Summerall, he drove this in us. He said, now, boys, he always had young preachers, guys around him mostly. He said, now, boys, whatever you do, if it's not redemptive, ditch it. Spend not another moment on it. Spend not another dollar on it.
Good.
And then he'd say, redemptive means one of two things. The winning of souls for the first time and make a disciple out of that soul so they can go win more souls. Now, if you're spending money on any other program, any other operation, he said, it's amazing. Now, this is a guy that fed more dying people in our lifetime than any other human being to feed the hungry. He's the only preacher that a president ever let use a military level, largest delivery aircraft available to human beings. It's the only preacher I know who had a literal transport ship. And he took food to starving people, but he wouldn't give it to governments or people. He gave it to pastors. And they said, he'd say, you deliver this food in the name of Jesus Christ or you don't get any more. That's that guy.
Yes, sir.
That guy said, if all you're going to do is deliver food, you're missing the whole reason for delivering the food. Stop it. Just stop it. Let other people who just care about starving people, let them spend their money. Your money, if you're going to do, this is the food guy, the delivery guy. He said, there's no reason to deliver this food that someone else couldn't do who didn't know Jesus. There's plenty of organizations to deliver clothing and food that don't know Jesus. There's big organizations that are constantly feeding the hungry people. He said, I'm feeding the hungry people, and I'm putting it in the hand of preachers because no Jesus, no food. In other words, here, Jesus brought you this starving person. Now let me talk to you about him. And all of a sudden, the food became the drawing card to the table. And he mastered this. Back to my point for a minute. It wasn't because we just decided to spend a lot of God's money on feeding people. Now, don't overinterpret that. We're all supposed to take care of the lost and the hungry and the widow and the fatherless. We all get that. So don't overinterpret. But to interpret it properly, back to the point, he said, anything you're doing that's not winning souls or has the potential to do it, or you're taking the soul you won and you're developing them so they can win more souls. Now, I like that advice. I'm not sure I've perfected it in my life because we find ourselves even around here once in a while saying, why are we doing that program? Like, you can't be the money thing. Don't go the money thing. This is not a business. A good businessman or woman would say, this thing's just costing. This thing's bleeding us. We got to cut this sector out of our business. We're here to make money. 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 The church is here to spend money.
Yes.
Nobody's more anointed to spend God's money than the true fivefold ministry. We're gifted to spend God's money. We have wisdom to spend God's money. And I'm not talking about the preacher guy that enough is never enough. I'm not talking about that guy. I'm preaching pretty good.
Amen.
Your amener did not get fixed this morning, but I'm preaching pretty good. All right, so we have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is a fact that God might call someone out or have you tell somebody a fact. And like I illustrated, they'd say, oh, my God, nobody knew that but God. Now you got their attention. But it wasn't so you look great. Oh, that guy, man, he gets flowing in that word of knowledge. Oh, my God, he read my mail. No, you ding-a-ling. It was God trying to talk to you to get your attention with something that you feel like nobody knew that but God. We don't stop there like, oh, wow. You have to say, why did you get my attention, God?
Yeah.
What do you want from me? What are you trying to say to me?
Yeah.
See, a word of wisdom is pretty similar, but it has to do with the future projection. Okay, let's keep reading. Is that okay? All right, verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. Now, I started to illustrate, that's not the kind of faith that comes by hearing. This is called special faith. Special faith. Got to keep going. And so, to another, the gifts of healing. Multiple gifts, same healing. By the same Spirit. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. By the way, that's not always healing in a body. There's a lot of miraculous works going on that has to do with multiple things, like supernatural breakthrough with governments, you missionaries, supernatural supply, you pastors building buildings way beyond what the average congregation could ever do. This is the working of miracles. And by the way, it says working because you got to work with God before it manifests, or it wouldn't be working of miracles. It would just be a miracle. Okay. To another, the working of miracles, still in verse 10. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And that means a message in tongues to the congregation. We all have a prayer language if you want it. That's different. Diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues, verse 11. But all these working, that one and the selfsame Holy Spirit dividing to every man severally as he wills. This isn't as you will. This is as he wills. Some people look at me strange when I say that, but I'm going to tell you. Since I got filled with the Holy Ghost in the 1970s up till now, I can humbly and honestly say, and probably some of you can too, at one time or another in those decades, walking with God, working for God, I have witnessed every one of these nine gifts of the Spirit manifest in our meetings just through me, but not all the time. I couldn't stand here and say, oh, don't worry, I got all nine gifts of the Spirit. No, you don't. Mark, you have the Holy Spirit. He's got nine gifts. And if you listen to him, he can manifest anytime he wants to in any of those nine gifts. Let's separate them in categories. There's three verbal gifts, right? Prophecy, tongues, a message in tongues to the whole church, and the interpretation of the tongues. Those are all verbal. There's three revelatory gifts. We just read them. There's a word of knowledge. There's a word of wisdom. Revelatory, and there's discerning the spirits. That's not the same as Christian discernment. No, it's not. All of us should no longer be on milk, but on meat. The Bible says we have discernment because we've had our senses exercised, not because God's flowing in a gift. So you can have good Christian discernment. I wish we had more. Because a lot of people can't even sort out who's got a demon and who doesn't anymore. We're just taught by the heathens, hug everything, love everybody, da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know where they learned that from paganism, not from the scriptures. Still with me? Then there are three power gifts, we call them. Want to name them with me? There's special faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles. Now, this is an important point. When you go from the power gifts, this is for illustration. They're all the Holy Spirit. They're all nine gifts equal. I'm just stacking them this for teaching. There's power gifts, there's revelatory gifts, and there's verbal gifts. Here's the deal. It's very, very hard to fake or imitate the power gifts. It's very easy to fake or imitate or miss it on a prophecy. So a lot of people run around with the word, God showed me, God told me, maybe he did, usually he doesn't, but they run all around because it's so easy in the human factor to prophesy what you're feeling is burning in you. And if you don't walk with God and you don't really know his voice, then you don't know if that's just you, what you want for somebody else, you know, how you think someone else should straighten up. See, verbal gifts have a great human factor. That's why in the scriptures it says, even if the prophets prophesy, let the other prophets judge it. Because a verbal gift, though it's from God, and it should be as pure as any gift, in order to deliver it, you have a human factor greater than working of miracles. Then you go to revelatory gifts. And you have less human factor, but you're still going through the brain. You're going through your soul. And if you don't walk close with God and realize, before you know it, you'll be imaging things. It's called witchcraft. You'll be imaging things. A familiar spirit will come and begin to show you pictures of people. So I heard this young preacher once, and he was calling out someone. They said, let's see, you live at this address. Your aunt's name is Martha, da, 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 da. And the whole congregation, well, wow. The person who got the word went, wow. And the Holy Spirit said, well, the devil knows all that information too. I said, well, yeah, but you do too, Lord. He goes, yeah, find me a verse where me, Jesus, ever gave someone their address, the kind of underwear, Fruit of the Loom or Hanes, and what their aunt's name is. And if so, for what reason? See, that's a demon. There are familiar spirits. That's why they're called family, familiar. There are familiar demons that if you don't walk with God seriously, then they can dirty this operation and try to imitate it. And you'll swear to God you had a word from God, but it had nothing to do with God, and probably nothing to do with God for that person. You know, we could start over. I'd have a different message that maybe... Yeah. Why is it that there's always somebody floating around the back of the church or in the steps of the parking lot that has a word for you?
Come on.
But it never happens in front of elders to say that wasn't correct. And that doesn't fit your life, honey. Ask me. I'm your shepherd under Christ. If God's going to direct your path to move from here to Hoogla Boogla, I would know about it. Because sister, brother, prophesier, sneaky, shadowy on the back, they're not responsible for you moving to Hoogla Boogla and being a missionary, but I am. So what is the head of the church stupid? Absolutely not. He loves you. He knows you. He knows me. And he's going to cause no other to direct your path except for he who is chosen to have some authority over your direction. That mouthful was worth an offering, Dr. Lonnie, right there.
Yes.
Praise God. Yeah. Well, we got to be, now I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not saying any names, but I am thinking of some people. What about, you ever met anybody that you think the only person I ever talked to is God? Well, Sam, the Lord told me. Sam, let me tell you what the Lord showed me. I woke up this morning and I was prickly. I had goosebumps thinking about you. Yeah. And the Lord said to tell you this. Give me $100. Or some other goofy thing. So, look it. We have a great pattern. Our Bible was put together perfectly. So here's the Apostle Paul. You could say most authoritative, number one preacher of his day. The only preacher at the time outside of the 12, one betrayer, that ever saw Jesus Christ personally was the Apostle Paul, that was called to apostolic authority, I mean, third heavens, right? So Paul is in the evangelist house. Kim Grisham's here, one of the greatest evangelists I've ever met. We're in the evangelist house, and he had daughters and who did prophesy. They had the gift of prophecy. So here's Paul. Agabus comes. He's a well-known New Testament prophet in that day. So Agabus comes to the meeting at your house. And he has a word from God for the apostle. And he doesn't say, hey, Paul. Oh, no. He's so alert and cautious. So the word is, he grabs up the vest or the covering of Paul, the jacket, whatever you call it. And he said, the man who owns this, he won't even address him out of respect. He doesn't call him Paul. He said, listen, apostle. Now, Agabus is a proven prophet. He could have done that, but he didn't. He said, the man who owns this garment, if he goes to Jerusalem, the following things will happen to him. It was right on the money. Paul ended up going, and that's exactly what happened to him, word for word.
Yes, sir.
But everyone else went, whoa, man, don't go, Paul. Don't do it. You got a word from God. Paul pretty much said, yes, I did, and we didn't. I did. We didn't get a word. I got a word. And he literally, King James says, why are you doing this to me? I'm going there. The prophet didn't tell me not to go. You're assuming he told me not to go. There's no not to go in that. He's warning me. God is warning me to be prepared that I'm not going to be easily received. And Paul, and later on, Paul said that when I got arrested down there, he said, that was the best thing in my ministry because my assignment was to take the gospel to the merchant center of the world, which was Rome. So he went as a prisoner. Free ticket from the government. Free boat ride. Didn't even have to stand in line. And he went all the way to Rome and preached the gospel to the highest authority and fulfilled his ministry.
Very good.
But there's no word those daughters ever prophesied to Paul. Why? They weren't prophets. See, the Bible's clear. If you look in the book of Acts, the New Testament prophet could direct. You cannot. If you start directing people's lives and you're not the prophet of God, you're going to get in trouble. The new prophet of God, he can foretell. Don't you start foretelling because it wouldn't be God. I'll prove it in a minute. It would be a familiar spirit getting you to exercise witchcraft to direct people's paths so you can look and sound spiritual. So a prophet can direct. He can confirm. He can foretell, he can predict, but now wait a minute. If you have the gift of prophecy, same Holy Spirit, but you don't have the authority to function any higher than to, do you know what the rules are? Prophecy, the gift of prophecy can do three things. Do you know what they are? Edify, exhort, which doesn't mean to rebuke, means to encourage. And what else?
Comfort.
So you can never go wrong, even if you miss God. If you stay with the boundaries of your position,
amen.
You can never miss God by pleading with someone to do better, serving God, encouraging someone and bringing comfort, and building up somebody, you know, prophecy, prophetic utterance that say, don't quit. I'm with you. God is with you. Everything's going to turn out according to, so you can't go wrong with that. I hope you don't miss God, and I hope you don't start talking a bunch of talk unless God tells you to. But if you did and missed it, you can't harm anything because you stayed in the perimeters of the gift of prophecy and didn't play prophet in people's lives. I gave this illustration in another meeting this week. But it's like, you stand up and give a prophetic utterance, you know, maybe she's just learning. She's not. She's been around, but I'm just pointing at her. And so it's like, thus saith the Lord, my children, I love you, my children, and such down. Well, that fits the gift of prophecy. She brought comfort. She reminded us how much the Lord loves us. It doesn't sound deep because it's not, and it's not supposed to.
Amen.
Prophets swim deep. The gift of prophecy is ankle deep most of the time, on purpose by God.
Yes.
Still with me?
Yes.
Why do you think Paul said to the Corinthians, the wildest charismatic church in his day, way over the Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, was those Corinthians? And Paul finally said, okay, wait a minute. You all may prophesy, wait, that you all may learn. That means somebody's getting corrected. You can't learn without correction. That was wrong. That was empty. You're going overboard. You all may learn, prophesy, but that you all may learn. That means somebody's your teacher and you're a student, right? Mm-hmm. But then said, okay, wait a minute. You folks are out of bounds. We're only going to do this three times per service. So though he said, you all can prophesy, so you all can learn basically how to walk with God and not get goofed up and deny familiar spirit. But he said, you know, at the same time, we're not going to have all church services, and all we're going to do is give a tongue and interpretation and prophetic utterances. So he pulled that in. The fastest moving spirit-filled church of the day. He said there has to be godly rules for the sake of decency and order. So let's see, you know, she gives her word, my children, I love you, my children. Let me borrow your chair. And so the lady next to you, we won't use Pastor Young or Sister Young. I hate being a woman, but for a minute I'm going to be that gal. If you pass that around town, you're in trouble. So she stands up. My children, I love you, my children. It fits the guidelines of a true prophetic utterance. There was probably somebody or a lot of somebodies in that meeting that didn't feel love of God, was dealing with condemnation to you super duper. You thought, well, my children, I love you. What is that? But to someone who's barely making it, it's like, oh, my God, the Lord does love me. So all it takes is this person to say, oh, my God, that was deep. I believe you're a prophetess. I mean, seriously, whoa, man, I felt goosebumps all over me. I wish someone would find me a goosebump verse or a shake verse. Oh, man, I just... You look like Don Knotts in the movie The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. If you're under 50, don't worry about that illustration. Now, what happens if she believes that person? Now, you know what she's going to do? She's going to go get prophetess teachings. She's going to go hook up to women who claim to be prophetesses, which there probably are some, but I'm just saying, well, she don't know if they are or not. They just say they are. She's going to read prophetess books, and she's going to start believing she's a prophetess because she prophesied once, and the person next to them that she respected all of a sudden called her into the ministry of the office of the prophet. She'll destroy her life. That's what that familiar spirit wants. The person who coached her will be responsible and won't know it till judgment day. The pastor will end up correcting it, and the other charismatics will get mad.
Yeah.
Well, he just don't allow the move of the spirit.
Wow.
No, that's not true. We don't allow the move of a familiar spirit. Because any true pastor knows the difference, because anybody that God's called to pastor has the gift of discerning a spirit to know when we're being lied to, lied about, what demons are dealing with our flocks and herds. Yeah, absolutely right. This is so good and deep, I should take two offerings this morning. So we want these nine gifts.
All right. I am going to stop it now so we have a little bit of time to talk about it. And the next time that we come back, we'll pick it up right here. And we will minister this again from about this point. Mark my notes here with a timestamp. So, if you have a question, it'd be a good time to type it in, or if you're on Zoom, just be live with us and say, hey, Pastor, answer this about that.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
One time I was at a church, it was a Nazarene church, I believe, in Ohio, and someone had prayed in tongues, but no one didn't interpret. And the Lord used me to interpret that word. And all he said was, be on fire for me. That's all he said. And I thought about it. I said, Lord, I don't understand why you had me, interpret. But I said, it's your will, Lord. And I just often wondered about that, because the only thing he had me say was, be on fire for me.
But yet, when you judge that by what we were just taught, that was very much the interpretation of tongues, which is right there in this.
Yeah, it's not biblical, and the Holy Spirit was definitely there.
Yep.
So I know, it's from the Lord. But the church itself, and I'm not saying it wasn't on fire, but I think the Lord wanted the people to get more on fire. One guy come up to me and said, thank you for interpreting. So I don't know what the deal was. I was fairly new going to that church. I always spoke in tongues, always. If not to myself, if somebody, you don't go into a church and start speaking in tongues, they'll kick you out, especially if they don't believe in it.
Right.
You got to use, God's grace and everything going in. But, this church did speak in tongues, but that was the first time ever that anybody even spoke the word of the Lord that I know of.
Wow.
So it was actually a church that practiced speaking in tongues.
Yeah. Sure was.
Well, that's interesting, because many Nazarene churches, that would not be the case.
I don't really remember the name of it. I thought it was a church of, could have been a church of God. It was a long time ago.
And the church of God does. But here's the thing. Hang on just a second. Here's the thing. All right, I muted you because I'm getting a bad feedback here. But you can come back right back on. What happened is God used you, but that's exactly what Pastor was just teaching. It is the Holy Spirit decided to use Sunday Geyser. And it sounds like you did a good job of saying, what'd you say, my children be on fire?
Yes, that's exactly what he said.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry, the back seat you're getting is me and cheesy popcorn.
Well, it's interesting because it was only happening when I started talking. So we're going to have you dump that in a bowl so it doesn't have as much interference here.
I didn't care about it. It just sounded kind of goofy. Oh, I found some baby little red cups. Just like you got, but they're juniors.
Oh, good.
So I bought some today.
Yay.
And had the little ping pong balls to go.
Yeah, I'm not into that pong deal, but
I don't want to around the baby, because Sophie's at that age where everything goes in her mouth, and I can move. I put them up.
Yep.
I thought it would be a cute game for her to throw them in the bowl.
Yeah. So I think that's really good. Let's clear this up for Roger now. Thank you, Sunday, for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's perfect how this works. And you and I, we're going to get more fluid here between us with a tongue and interpretation. Now, as we continually move together in this, you're going to hear more of them right here on this program, because God wants to flow that way with all of us also. And hang on just a second here. I got to get this where I can see it. So Brother Rogers said, I'm not clear about the nine gifts. Now, let's just say it this way. In the body of Christ, according to the word of God, you know, you're going to just do what I said to do. Everybody just pause a minute. Isn't that something? I'm just helping my computer know what to do. So this is an easy way to let you see what this is about. This is the Holy Spirit using nine different processes during a church service to be a blessing to the people that's in the services. They're called nine gifts. They're all a gift of the Holy Spirit. Nobody is a person that functions in that gift all the time. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit says, in this service, I need the word of knowledge. The next service, he says, I need the word of wisdom. Like Sunday just said, in that service, it was a word of a tongue and an interpretation. But what it is God sees somebody there that needs to get a revelation with a punch to say, wow, God just spoke to me personally. Many times in a tongue and interpretation in a church, that person that gives the tongue, mandola site, bodhidasa, kumanandadishima. And then at the other side of the building, somebody will say, my children, you should never give yourself to the battle of fighting with your mate. And Bob and Mary just argued all the way to church. And they open their eyes and they look at each other. And for the first time, they realize, oh, we're letting the devil in. And what was it? By a gift of the Spirit of somebody that Bob and Mary didn't know, that gave the tongue, and then someone over here gives the interpretation, Bob and Mary are standing there going, first time I ever heard a tongue and interpretation. That person talked about everything that was talked about in the car on the way to church for 45 minutes. That person, I was my first time there, you know. I got a hold of the pew, you know. I'm like 3 feet to the door. I'm ready to leave. I'm freaked because you never know what's going to go on. That's somewhere I got that. And they got done singing, and somewhere around the church, this man with a deep voice, I'm gripping. You know, I'm white-knuckling the pew in front of me like, oh, Jesus, here it is, you know. Hold on. Let's see what this is all about. Somebody on the other side of the church says, my children, you know, when you're on your way to church, stop your arguing. It's time to worship. And it's like, how did that guy know what was going on in my car? He didn't. He was used by a gift of the Spirit because there's someone who has begun to flow in the Spirit, flow in the gift of speaking in tongues, and is open enough for the Spirit to use them that they can be used in that way. And they didn't know what was going on, but it helped that person see who God was. Yeah, the raspy voice is Sunday eating popcorn during church without dumping it in a bowl first. Go ahead, Mary. You had a question. That's cool. I'm glad you do. Let's ask it.
Popcorn too.
Mary had her hand up a minute ago.
I do, but I'm trying to mute the TV.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have the popcorn to the bathroom.
It sounds really good, though, doesn't it, now that she said that?
So, Sister Leanne is out popping corn. If you don't hear her in the background, she's popping corn right now. Go ahead.
Anyway, I don't know if this is on the same tone of what you're talking about, but I had something happen to me in church one Sunday when I was there. And I have to give you a little bit of the background of where my brain was at the time. When you have a little child, a year old or so, 2 years old, and let's say you have a coffee table, and they're just starting to walk around, and they come up and they get some of your stuff off the table, and you say, no, put it back, leave it alone. A little while later, they go up and they get that same object off the table, and you say, a little sterner, leave it alone. Grammar, leave it alone. And then pretty soon they come back and they get it again, and you shout, leave it there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting in church one Sunday morning, and I was in one of my kind of moods where I don't like it when people come and sit in the same seat every Sunday, so I would move around the church. I had moved to the opposite side of the church, up towards the front just a little bit, and I was sitting there listening to the guy with the sermon and everything, but my brain went off in la-la land, and I'm always talking to God about my children, my one child especially. And so my brain was off in la-la land, and all of a sudden I heard somebody shout, leave it there. And I about jumped out of my seat, hit the ceiling, and fell back down. It was like God shouted at me.
Wow.
And ever since then, I have had this total peace that you can't explain. It's a total peace about a lot of things. Because I remember God screaming at me, telling me, leave it there. Let me work on it. Leave it there.
Wow.
And I just thank that guy for being a servant of God. I told him, I said, God used you to help me. And I believe that. I'll go to my grave thinking that. Now, was that wrong of me to tell him that?
Well, no, it's not wrong. But remember that it's him being willing to be used by the Holy Spirit, and really who you should really give the thank you is the Holy Spirit.
I think I kind of did, but I'm not positive about that. But
yeah.
I did thank the guy for, you know, I told him, I said, God used me to help
yeah.
me. And I hope I wasn't wrong in doing that.
No,
you're not wrong. And but yet Dr. Barclay was doing a very good job of at the end explaining that, remember, this is not, at the beginning he said, this is not an outflow of you personally. So don't ever magnify somebody's gift in them and act as though that was something amazing from them, because it doesn't matter to the Holy Spirit who he uses. He's going to use whoever he is, but those are not a manifestation of a human. That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And
well, isn't it okay to tell that person that God used them?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. But to say at the end of saying, thank you, sir, that really blessed me. I'm sure glad you will be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But to end your statement with, and I think you ought to consider the fact that you are quite a prophet. Now,
oh,
that last phrase is out of order.
I never called him a prophet. I just said,
no, I'm not saying you. I'm saying if a person added that last phrase, now they took it out of the hands of the Holy Spirit and made it a human entity. And for you or I to say that to somebody is out of order and is doing that person a disservice when we do that, when it's just a gift of the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with saying, thank you, sir, for being so willing to be used by the Holy Spirit, because that really blessed my life. And
I don't think I put it in those words, but...
Well, but that's okay. The point is, don't add the phrase, I really think you should consider prophet school.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
And there's, and yet, I was one...
I just thought God used him to yell at me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And think about it. What an interesting thing to have the Holy Spirit say, but it might not have affected anybody else, but it sure helped you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. It sure did. And it still does to this day.
I have had situations where people have said to me, Pastor, I can't believe you said this during the program, during the service. And I'm like, I didn't say that. They're like, yes, you did. I'm like, really? What was I talking about? And they, said. And the one guy was so determined by it. I'm like, I did not say that. I know I did. So I went to the sound guy and said, I want a tape of today's service. That's back in the cassette tape day. I took that home, that thing home. I sent that message three times. The first time, I'm like, this guy's preaching pretty good. I better listen to this, you know. The second time is like, wow, that's a good point. And I'm like, wait, I'm trying to see if I actually made the statement. And it was not recorded on that tape anywhere. But
yeah.
That person heard God Almighty by my voice make those statements, and their eyes got that big around during church. Like, I didn't say it, but the Holy Spirit helped them hear it. And it changed their life. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
That's a great story.
I've had, in the past, memories of Bible verses come into my head that were not in the Bible. That was spooky. I was telling the pastor's wife, well, it's in the Bible. It says this. It says this. I'm supposed to do that. It says this. She looked and looked and looked and looked and said, it's not there, Mary. It's not there. And that's happened to me two different times. And I don't know if I read it in a different publication of the Bible that was more, I don't know, modern or something. I don't know. I could tell you one of them, but I won't do it on
you. The doctrine of man that you were taught.
Well, and it's like, one of the statements that people say all the time is cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible.
Thank God, because I didn't wash my feet tonight.
Too much information.
You love me, you know it. Well, I'm going to tell my mic.
I do.
Have a blessed night.
Love you, Mary. Brother Roger, that was an example of what the nine gifts of the Spirit, one of them, did for Mary. And that's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, either one. A word of knowledge is about today. And so when the man said, leave it there, wow, that got a hold of Mary, like, wait, quit trying to handle this in your own strength and leave it at the cross. And what a powerful word.
Amen. Still scares me to death. I'm going to remember that for a long time.
Oh, yeah. All right, so correct me if I'm wrong. If a person of God tells you to do something you're not supposed to obey, is that person a man of God? That is so appropriate to this day that we live in. Because Jesus said that the number one thing that's going to be wrong with this day is deception. And it's like Dr. Barclay was just teaching. It's just like the Holy Spirit was just teaching through Dr. Barclay that you got to know the difference of whether you're hearing the Holy Spirit or a deceiving spirit. And you got to be willing to what you say, especially when you're starting to say something that's going to direct people. If it doesn't match this book, then you are not speaking by the Holy Spirit. And no, don't follow that person. Don't follow him one day. Don't go around and crucify him and say, this person is not a man of God. They told me to do something outside of the Bible. But you don't want to do that. But no, don't follow them. And it's just like you hear people on TV that are teaching a bad doctrine. Why would you ever go back and begin to listen to them again? You're just not. And when you see them make friends of wicked people, and then they begin to share the same words of wicked people, and they do it in the pulpit, no. No, 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 and no. And don't listen to those people. And there's a couple men in our day. There's a whole millions of people that like these men. And they're super rich. And they're super famous. And if I gave their names, every one of you would be like, but I don't follow them because of who they follow. And who are their friends. And the doctrines they believe. If you're a friend, if you are personal friends with wicked people and you are not there trying to change them, they're just your buddy and your pal, and you're a preacher, who's influencing who?
Yeah.
Because your influence should cause them to be saved. And they're not, especially when you espouse the doctrines of wickedness that they believe. That don't do that.
Yeah, what fellowship
does... that's very good. Say it again.
What fellowship does wickedness have with righteousness?
Does darkness have with light? Does the table of God have with Belial? There's none. Come out from among them and be ye separate. So I don't think you're wrong, Roger. And... you know, every one of us are in a learning process. Every one of us are. And not everybody that says something wrong to you is out to hurt you. But you and I got to be the ones that are like, wait. That doesn't have anything to do with what God's been telling me. And no, devil, you don't get to call me out of the flock because somebody else told me to go somewhere. One time... Dr. Barclay tells a story of somebody who's in his church came and said, Pastor, I was over at this church the other day, and a guy stood up and said, prophesied to me that I was supposed to go to Africa. And Pastor said, was I the guy that prophesied that to you? He goes, well, no, it was somebody, it was a visitor. He said, well, why would you listen to a visitor tell you to go to Africa when you haven't had your own pastor tell you by the Holy Spirit, you were supposed to go to Africa? Well, they just don't know me, and they said it. He said, it's what Pastor said. You better make sure you take that man with you, because if he just prophesied you into Africa, you're probably going to need him to be there with you in Africa to prophesy you home, because that's nothing that God has been saying to you, and he's most definitely said it, not said it to me as your shepherd. And now you're listening to a voice that's outside of your kingdom that you're a part of. And that's only going to do you wrong and bring confusion to you. And it gets us right down into the nitty-gritty of how the church actually works is what it really does. And, man, when you function how the church really works, the blessing of God is all over everything. One of Dr. Barclay's number one men all of a sudden said, you know, I need to go to this country and preach, Pastor. And Dr. Barclay said, all right, well, let's pray about it. So they prayed, and he's like, no, you're not supposed to be there. And he came back, and he said, no, I really think I'm supposed to go. And he prayed about it again. And Pastor said, no, you're not supposed to go to that place. And finally the guy said, well, Pastor, I know you don't see it, but I am going to go to that country because I really, really believe that God is going to is wanting me to go. And Pastor said, well, all right, tune your prayer and the Holy Spirit up, because you're going to need it, because you're not listening to me. As soon as they landed in the country, the nation went into a military coup. And the man told me himself, somebody brought it up one day, and they asked him to talk about it when we were sitting at lunch. And he said, I literally prayed 18 to 20 hours a day in the Holy Spirit to stay alive.
Wow.
And get the people that were with me back to America. And he said, I don't remember, it took him 3 or 4 days, 5 days to get them back to America. And he said, we literally prayed in tongues all day long because Pastor told us, don't go. And Pastor didn't know there was a military coup coming. He just went to God and said, Father, is your blessing on this? I don't see it.
Wow.
And they lived. But they lived because they got deep in the spirit in the middle of a military coup. And that's why you've got to, that's why all of us have to learn to trust our spiritual leaders and to realize God's put them in our life for a reason. And there's great safety in that. We don't ever worship a human, but thank God you have somebody in your life. It's like I can say to you right now, I've had the same pastor for 30 years. How many people can actually say that? There's nobody on the face of the earth that knows my life better than what Dr. Barclay does. And I am really, really glad about it. Because I can call him and ask him a question or text him and ask him a question I did this morning. And he can give me a 3-word answer that just sets 50 things in order. Why? Because I've been with the same man where God placed me in this body and it transformed my life completely. Had all kinds of people try to prophesy me away from him, starting in the first year.
Really?
Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Total deceiving spirits talking. I wanted to reach out and swat one lady. She was prophesying, and I was kind of in a corner, and I was going to have to make a scene to get by her. So she couldn't get to me because the mic cord wasn't long enough. And I just stood there shaking my head. I don't receive it. 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 As soon as she turned around and walked the other way, I was out the door. Why? She was moving in a spirit, but it was a demonic spirit. And all those people that was a part of that fellowship, their lives were ripped to shreds.
Pastor?
Yeah.
I remember one time when I was in church and somebody was telling me something that it just was not biblical. And so I ran into the ladies' bathroom and I stayed in there until a lady with all her children, and you know, she had a big backside and I was kind of busy. So I waited until she went out with all her kids and I came out behind her so nobody could see me leave and go to my car. And when I got home, I got a phone call from my pastor. And we talked for about an hour. And I don't know if I was going to be saying that. I told him, I said, I didn't hear you say, but I hear you preach. Because me and my husband were arguing. And I kind of stayed in the car. I didn't come in the house. I slept from my car. When we went to church together, he went up, and the pastor come up, put his arm around us, and my husband said, tell her she better come back in the house. And the pastor told me, move back in the house. He didn't know what was going on. So anyway, that's a long story. We talked for an hour, and he gave me some excellent advice. Because I told him, you know, he said that we were supposed to stay away from things that were bad. And at that time, my husband took his finger and pointed it at my chest. And he says, you tell your kid to stay off my property or I'll kill him.
Wow.
Don't do that. Oh, Mom.
That's wrong. That's
I was thinking of my husband, and the pastor says, you go back. Well, that's not, you stay away from bad things.
Yep.
But we talked for an hour, and I said, why should I? This is not right. And that's what he said to me. He says, we may be the only Bible that some people read. So I had to stand on the word and be brave and forgive him for what he said. And anyway, I'm done.
And that was how many years ago?
Probably 1995, maybe, early 90s. I've been going to church for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And
God's helped you ever since then, Mary?
Well, he's helped me all my life. Even when I was a little girl, he's always been there for me. I just didn't realize what it was.
Yeah.
I knew I was different, but I didn't know why.
Yeah.
And I still don't know why.
Well, you
but
did.
I know God helps me through all this stuff. And I'm overly conscious about misinterpreting things that I think God wants me to do or help or something like that. I'm afraid I'll do things wrong, and I don't want to disappoint God.
In that statement is also condemnation and fear, and you don't need that. And the Father knows your heart, and He knows you're never going to do anything on purpose. And more than that, the Father knows you are tenderhearted. And if you ever found out you did something out of order, you'd be quick to say, hey, please forgive me. I didn't mean that to go that way.
Yeah.
So you have a very tender heart. So you got to ditch that condemnation wherever it comes from, because that's what that is. And don't worry about it. You are a very powerful person in God. I'm not blowing smoke. And you are a very humble person in God, and you would be the first to say, wait, I missed that. Please forgive me. I'm just trying to be a helper. And you're not ever going to have to worry about being out of order. Is that you have an out of order spirit. You have a humble spirit that's very teachable.
My son don't tell me that. But
well,
anyway, I'm not going to go there.
We've already had that conversation. And every son has a problem with their mother until they get their own act together. And then when that son gets their act together, then they no longer have a problem with their mother or their dad. And they realize, I just got to grow up, put on my own big britches and be a good person. And everybody learns it. Some people don't learn it early enough. Some people have to hit a bunch of walls before they learn it.
Yeah.
But we're speaking our faith right now that says, and we do every day, that God is bringing the laborers across his path to help him see his way into the kingdom. In Jesus'
Amen.
Mighty name.
Amen.
And we're not going to jump in the way. We're not going to try with our own effort to make it happen. And just rest it into God's care. I like Brother Copeland's statement. Brother Copeland says, roll all the care of it over onto Jesus.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I cried. Bye. Mike off.
Phyllis said, too, there's certain preachers that I don't listen to because I heard them preach something totally against what I know from Scripture.
Yep.
And that's good. That's you know your Scriptures well enough, Phyllis, that you know to walk away.
Well,
because they're not decent.
And let's just use us right here. And then we'll take communion here in a little bit. Brother Roger, you're getting your 4 hours, brother. Here we go, man. Yeah, don't be sorry when you cry, man. We don't mind you crying.
No.
At all. You got a tender heart. That's wonderful. But let's just talk about that process that you were just saying. What was you just saying? Looked at the clock and got me way off.
Oh, what Mary was saying?
Yeah, and then you said.
Oh, Phyllis was talking about the preachers.
Right, let's talk about you and I right here. You might hear me say something and be like, what, Pastor? Well, if that happens, then go back when the program's done and then look at the tape and say, wait a minute, did something happen on the screen? And you can tell Pastor's looking all over and I said something and then I gave you a total off the wall statement. So you might hear me say things regularly like, wait, what did you just say? But what happened is I got something on my screen that's like, what? And even if you don't understand, if you're like, wait a minute, why would you say that? Well, then send me an email afterwards and say, Pastor, why did you say that? That's the power of what we do here. And, yeah, I mean, I could have misspoken. I am a humanoid just like the rest of you.
But if they're totally teaching doctrine that isn't in right. the Bible. Then...
Right. If they're teaching doctrine that's in the Bible, don't ever listen to them again. Go ahead, Sunday.
A friend of mine, who's a prophet, she lives in Atlanta, Georgia. Beautiful lady. You know, I called and talked to her and everything. It's like she's my sister from another mother. One of those.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful lady. And we were talking, and now I had not met her prior to this. We talked on Facebook, you know, stuff like that. And so she said to me one day, we were talking on the phone, she says, you know, Sunday, I just feel that in my spirit, I feel like you were called to be a prophet. I said, well, I've never had that. No one ever prayed for me. There was never a word from God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I, to my knowledge, no. You know? And I didn't rebuff her. I just was letting her know when I hear it from the Lord, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Not just a person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's a godly woman. She really is. But I just, no.
And see, anybody who would ever give you, that is the strangest thing.
It is.
Anybody who would ever give you a word that says, thus saith the Lord, as if they're a prophet, if God has never said it to you before, and that's brand new information to you, unless it's your pastor, I don't trust it. Because why would God speak to somebody else first before he would speak to your own pastor to prophesy to it? To you to help you see it. And what when the person prophesies it to you like that, it's supposed to come to you to confirm the word that God has already spoken to you in your private prayer time. You took a note and said, wow, thank you, Father. And now when they say it, they're confirming what God has already said to you. Now, I have in my phone, all the prophecies that's ever been spoken over me. Well, many of them, not all of them, but many of them. Every single one of those, it was as if when the prophet began to speak, they were reading my notepad, what I had just written. What were they doing? They were confirming the word that God had already spoken to me from his holy word. And now they were true prophets. Now their confirmation said, wow, I wrote that last week. Here it is today. It's a confirmation of God's word.
Yeah.
That lady that I was telling you was trying to prophesy over me, she wasn't prophesying. She was talking about things that happened to me when I was a child. She was talking about people that had done me wrong. She was talking about offenses that I had dealt with in my life. It was a familiar spirit. And that lady had conjured up a familiar spirit in that church service. And was talking out loud, saying things of my life that should be private for no one else to hear.
So how did you know?
How did I know what?
That it was just a familiar spirit. And
well, God's not going to ever reveal your dirt to everybody else.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Never. Therefore, I have to say no. And when I didn't have to push her to get out the door, I left. Because I'm not doing that.
Right.
And that person who has very obviously flowing in a familiar spirit, if that were to happen to you, they don't deserve your respect of staying and listening to them. Walk out immediately, because that is a demonic spirit.
And
you don't want to stay and give it any glory. And if you walk out in the middle of that person doing that, everybody else is going to be like, wait a minute here. Why did that guy just walk out? Everybody in that building knew me that day. They knew me. They knew me as a pastor. People came to me immediately saying, why did you walk out? I'm like, that is not of God. What are you doing in there? People left like crazy. Because it was a demonic spirit.
Yeah, a prophecy in public will always edify or direct a person, right?
Not. It will always edify, give exhortation or comfort if it's by the Spirit. If you are a prophet of God, flowing in the office of the prophet, found in Ephesians 5:11, then that person may direct you and tell you what they see, but it's always going to be a confirmation of what God already said. See, that's why, that's what makes this foolproof. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder. This book is filled with answers, so you're not ever going to have to wonder on it. Now, you might have some questions on it, like, all right, why did you say that, Holy Spirit, and that? And you might say, oh, my God, are you serious? Not only did I write it down, but look at what's going on. That's why it's so important when you're talking to God to write down what he says, because then he can come back and confirm that word that he's been speaking to you. He can come back and confirm that word. And that begins to really, really help you. Yeah, never. Amen, Rebecca, never. Never listen to somebody talk about your personal life in front of an audience, never. Nope. Now, if you're a really bad son of or daughter of God and you're running in rebellion, and you show up in a church in rebellion, and there's a true prophet of God there, he might look at you and say, son, you're in rebellion. Daughter, you're in rebellion. You need to change now. But he's not going to say, now, last night you was out at the bar doing this, and last night you was out in if that happens, that's because you're getting ready to drop into hell, and God's giving you one last ditch effort to get you out. But if you showed up at church for the last-ditch effort, then your heart's not going to be that way. And that guy's not going to speak that way. He's going to say, come to the things of God. See, this thing's foolproof. Why? The Holy Spirit is not a fool. Truth. Now, we've got to bring this to a close so we can receive communion, and then we can talk some more afterwards. Because I want to talk. I want to do this while we still have the Blog Talk Radio folks with us and have communion together. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your instruction. Thank you, Jesus, for the word that Dr. Barclay taught us. Thank you, Father, for calling the Holy Spirit conferences. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making them powerful. We receive this information. Help us grow and be established and be strengthened and be fortified in the things of God, and because of what you do in us, Lord. I bless every person in the sound of my voice to grow and develop and become strong in God. Moving mountains. Overcoming kingdoms. Changing people's lives. Because of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. That is moving on the inside of them. We pray it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. So here we go. Same page we were already on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll receive the communion elements together. I love this. I love this. Our ability to work these things out together with each other and grow. I'm pretty confident of this team of people, this body of believers. I am pretty confident in you guys. And I'm asking God to take us into some really serious places and cause us to grow way beyond anything we've already grown already. I can't grab my bongos fast enough, Roger, but... I don't have that little shelf built you sent me, brother. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That's pretty cool, isn't it? In the same manner after supper. Don't mind my 70s conversation. After supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged of the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. He's the head and we're his body, the fullness of him. Perfect love cast out fear, and the torment goes with fear, because there is no fear in love, and there should be no fear in the communion elements. If you come here tonight to mock God, to mock his sacrifice, his blood, and his broken body, I got a word for you. If you take communion, you'll drink damnation to your soul. That's only for those who come here to mock God. For those of you that came here saying, I want to find God, all you got to do is examine yourself. And if when you examine yourself, you say, Lord, I need you, you're worthy. I'm going to pray the prayer of salvation right now. And that prayer is going to lead you into the very first step of your Christian life. And it gives you access to begin to walk with God. And you'll be a believer. Some people call it born again. Some people call it becoming a Christian. They got lots of terms for it. But the most important thing is you become a believer and you begin to walk with God. Now, pray this prayer with me wherever you are around the world, no matter how many times you've prayed it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
And John chapter 1.
And John chapter 1.
When I believe in you,
when I believe in you,
you give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
life. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day.
And you rose again on the third day.
For me.
For me.
Put your hands up and just say it. I receive you in my life, Jesus.
I receive you in my life, Jesus.
Into every area of my life.
Into every area of my
life. Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my sin.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of
Pray
God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' my name.
I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Some
Amen.
Of you, you might have begun to pray in your heavenly language right then. If that's the case, just go. Just go. That's what happens. It's another language. You just have to speak words. Just keep speaking them because that's God Almighty who just filled you. Now, you might say, Pastor, I can tell something's going on in me. What is it? You just went from darkness to light, from fear to faith, from your sin to Jesus' righteousness, and you were adopted into the family. All in one prayer. Jesus is the light of the world, and you invited him in. You're filled with light. Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith. You invited him in, and now you're filled with faith. Jesus knows you can't beat sin in your own strength, so he filled you and made you into his righteousness right now. You might say, wow, Pastor, is all that going on? Yeah, that's why you feel hot heat. Some people feel warm oil. Some people feel like, wow, I got somebody dumped water all over me. People say, my insides are on fire. I heard a bunch of people say that one. No, what you got is God just came into your being. Adam sinned and God left his being. He's still alive. Adam lived to be 960 years old. But his spirit man was no longer able to communicate with God like he used to do in the garden. And that's what just happened to you. You've been born again. Your spirit man just came alive. The Father said, adopt you into the family. You are now an heir of God, joint heir with Jesus. Everything that Jesus has access to, you have access to. According to Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 17. It's an amazing thing. You might say, how in the world am I going to become a Christian? Don't worry about that. Wake up every morning and say, Jesus, help me walk with you. Try it.
Jesus, help me walk with you every day.
Nothing hard about that prayer, is there? And if he hung those stars out there and made this earth and this universe and what he did, he can certainly help you walk with him.
Amen.
And that's what this is all about. My email address and website is in there. HG for Holy Ghost. HG Preacherman at gmail.com. Send me an email. Say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. I will help you walk with God. I got over 600 videos that'll be a blessing to you. In many ways. And all you got to do is ask me. They don't cost you no money. It's all on YouTube. No charge.
No excuse.
You might as well know it. You get ready to stand before Jesus here in a short period of time. Might as well get you and all your friends. Get you into the kingdom. So you don't miss that rapture, man. And you get to spend eternity with the Father forever.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Well, run and get you some grape juice and some bread. If you don't have grape juice, get you some bread and water because Jesus turned the water into wine. Get you a cracker. That's what I like. Some of you might say, Pastor, you don't ever have bread. That's because bread is really chewy and it takes me a long time to get it down and move so I can talk again without spitting all over my computer. And these little wafers, they dissipate real quick. It makes much easier flow of our service. You ready? Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus'
name. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes,
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my
mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying. In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
Right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive the broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. That you took the whole feast of the Passover and you wrapped it up in one amazing act of love and grace and mercy in these communion elements. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Hey, you guys are supposed to be saying this with us.
Okay,
I keep forgetting. No. We are not going to make that statement. We don't ever forget again. Here we go. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin. Has been placed in remission. In my life. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it. By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace,
to the throne room of grace,
where I find grace, mercy, and help,
where I find grace, mercy, and help
for my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony,
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over and cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down. And there's no more condemnation.
In my life at all.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be the glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive the communion elements together. Glory be to God.
Love that.
Sister Sunday, put your mic back on.
Why you keep muting me?
Well, no, I'm doing a test. I'm doing a test to see what this is, because you can't still be eating popcorn this many minutes later.
I don't know what it is. My TV's almost mute.
Well, do you have speakers in the background? How do you listen? What is it? Your phone or your computer? Say again.
My phone.
That is really interesting.
It is.
I'll turn my phone down a little. Is that better?
Well, yeah, but it's not. It's never done this before.
I know.
And it's not when you're speaking. It's when I'm speaking.
Is it like an echo?
I don't know. It's my words.
Yeah.
It's taking my words and distorting them somehow.
Wow. I didn't even notice.
I don't think you would notice it.
But
that's why I kept muting you and unmuting you. I'm like, I'm doing a test because I've only got one opportunity to fix it, and that's right now. So now let's sing. You ready? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Everybody quit singing. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Isn't that funny if it does it with the drums? God bless you, sleep, Rebecca. Love you. Thank you for being here.
It's almost like an echo. I'm hearing you talk.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, Sunday, is it's only your mic. Now watch. Now, I don't know, Brother Dan, if you're still awake, talk. If not, Mary, you talk.
Mary, yeah. See if it does it on there.
I'm waiting for you to talk, Mary, unless you're in bed.
It's a button on. When I hear you speak, it sounds like Chris Timmer's voice. That's the way your voice sounds when it comes through. The echo sounds like that.
But it's not that way when I'm talking to you right now, right?
No, it's not. You're clear right now.
It's only when Sunday has her mic on. Don't nobody freak out. That's not a sign from God.
My TV's loud, though. Turn my mic off.
Well, but that, naturally we can hear that in the background. But this is totally different. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like a lot like Tim's voice back there and behind us. Just, you can't make it out. That is interesting. Why is it only her mic?
Yeah, because it's not doing it on your mic. It doesn't do it on Mary's. Put yours back on again, Sunday.
I didn't do a thing. Honest to goodness.
And see, it's very clear. It's very clear when Sunday talks.
Well, that is weird.
And why did it just start tonight? I've never heard this before.
I know. Weird.
So all of you that's sitting on the side going, what are these guys doing? We're solving an audio problem.
It sounds like someone's actually talking over you when you're talking.
Yeah, but it's some kind of a distortion.
Yeah.
In what I'm saying. Let me try something here. All right, now Sunday's got her mic on, but I have her muted when she's not talking and I am. All right, now talk. Isn't that just something?
I hear it.
Is there something that you're playing in the background, Sunday?
Oh, I got my TV muted.
Isn't that just something?
Yeah, it's
weird. Well, this is what we do. We take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. Now, can you hear me now? Nope. Now you can hear me. Isn't that something? Well, just so everybody knows, this is how we're going to solve it. I'm going to mute Sunday's mic while I'm talking, while I'm telling you how I'm solving it. All right. Number one, in the name of Jesus, we command all of this equipment to function properly every time we come together. Number two, I declare that whatever the interference is, get out of our situation because we're just trying to help people walk with God. That's all we're doing. And you can't mess with us. Now, let's try it again, Sunday. Turn your mic back on. Now let's see if it's still there. Because Blog Talk Radio just shut off, so I was wondering if it had something to do with that.
It's doing it again when you're talking.
Yeah. All right, well, Facebook Live, we love you. Let's see. We're going to shut these down at a time and see if we're getting an interference off of one of them. So Facebook Live, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow at noon Eastern for an hour of faith. And tomorrow it'll be just an hour of faith. Because we got a mission to run tomorrow. Here we go. See you later, Facebook Live. God bless you. All right, let's try it again, Sunday.
All righty. How's that?
Now let's see. Well, it wasn't Facebook. and it's not Blog Talk Radio. So now let's go to YouTube. To all our YouTube guests, we love you. Thanks for sticking with us while we were solving our audio problem here. Pray for the audio problem to go away. And until we see again, make sure wherever you are around the world, YouTube, send us an email. Let us know because we want to be a blessing to you. And we thank you. Make some notes. Make some timestamps in a YouTube video that really helps you. It'll be a blessing to everybody when you do. Till we see you again tomorrow, this is what we say. Go ahead and turn your mic back on, Sunday.
Okay.
We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
That is weird.
Now, is it still there? Isn't that funny?
That is weird. Because it's never done that before.
This is what we know. Whenever we face something like this, whenever we face something like this before, we just We speak to it in the realm of the spirit. We rebuke it, and we watch God do a mighty work with it in us. And I declare the angels of God fix it, and we don't even know how, but we just keep smoking this thing in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Brother Dan, bless you, Mary. Sunday.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Anything else you got to say about tonight?
I muted myself again.
I can mute myself, too.
Snorting all night, hearing that noise.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. The problem is I can only fix it one place, and that's right here. And I'm not going to tell Sister Sunday she can't speak. What I'm going to do is turn your mic back on, Sunday.
That's the enemy.
So
she's been saying some pretty good words. Yeah, thank you, Mary.
Hey, Mary, keep talking for a minute. I'm going to flip my mic switch back on and off while you're talking. Or Dan, one of you guys. See, now it's doing it even when you guys are talking. So I think when we come back on, hold on. I think when we turn our phones off and turn them back on, I think there'll be a difference tomorrow. Just make sure you turn your phone all the way off and turn it back on before tomorrow. And I think we'll see that makes a difference in it. All right, well, guys, that's all we got for right now. Go ahead. Okay, let's try it again. I think tomorrow when we come back on here, just make sure everybody turns their phone off and turns it back on so you get a fresh start. I think we're probably going to see that it won't even be there. I'm not going to tell Sunday to do that right now because we got to hang up anyways. We got to get going because we got another program to do, and we're going to do communion on Hear the Word, so read the Word. So I like that. Sunday morning communion.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big net we're throwing right there. May God help us reap that net like we need to in Jesus' mighty name. All right.
Good night, guys.
We'll
love
see
you
again real soon. Thank you for everything. Bless you, Brother Dan. You got anything else to say, Dan?
Put time stamps in Read the Word, can you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wish I knew how to do that, and I'd go back to yesterday to listen to it and get that wow moment word I heard.
Yeah, just go into the Read the Word thread that we have on Messenger and click on yesterday's program. You'll be right back to it.
But how do you put the time stamp in?
You just make a comment, whatever you want, and you look up there and see what time it is when you stop the video, just like you do on any other one.
Well, I haven't done it on any of them yet, so
all right.
I'll try to do that on the one I was listening to yesterday, because that hit me really strong, so I'll try and put a timestamp in there.
Nothing else, put a comment, Mary.
Okay.
Put your comment in. When you stop the video, when you get to the point, stop on your video and you'll see two times. Just enter that time in. It's a four-digit time and a colon in the middle. Enter that time in there, and that's the timestamp.
If I can't do that, I can always just make a comment where I'm talking
yep.
about?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Amen.
It makes a big difference.
That was awesome. For me it was. I don't know if it would be for anybody else, but for me it was. So, have a good evening.
Yep, bless you. Love you guys. Love you, Dan. Love you, Sunday. Yeah, weird.